Attention. Attention. A special news bulletin is about to commence. You are being instructed to turn the volume up for this special announcement from Geek News Central. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. The geek from Geek News Central is about to come on the air. He's putting on the headset. He is pulling up the microphone. He has opened a can of Red Bull. He has strapped himself into the chair. His assistant is slapping him in the face. Get ready. And now, your host, Todd the Geek from Geek News Central.
Aloha, everyone. It is Friday, November 25th, and I am Todd Cochran, and you are listening to the Geek News Central podcast, and we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So please visit techpodcast.com. Yeah, I couldn't help myself. I've been playing around with some of those old intros. Got a few emails from you folks last time that we were playing with the one of the ones that were submitted for the contest entry, but many of you that have been with us for a long time probably recognize that intro. But hello, everyone, and I hope that those of you that live in the United States, I hope your Thanksgiving was not an overstuffed one. I know that today I think I ate more food, more food than what a human should possibly eat in one day, but that's what happens on Thanksgiving, I'm telling you. Was totally, totally terrific day. Kick back, watch some football, believe it or not. Watch Detroit just absolutely get crushed. And then Dallas, of course, at the end got beat in overtime. But hey, it is late here. I'm looking at the clock. It is 11:27 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time. So many of you have been in bed for a good number of hours. But I promised that I'd have a show out on the street Friday morning for you. So I am recording now to make sure that it gets up. But as always, hey, for all of you that have been with us for a while, we want to thank you for being part of our Ohana, part of our family here. And thanks for staying subscribed and being with us. And those of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. And of course, you're going to want to make sure that you sign up for our mailing list. Find the link to that over on geeknewscentral.com in the second column of the website. And of course, we've got all the old shows listed underneath the podcast link too, so you can check out all the archives. And I think this is show number, I have to look here, maybe 118, 119. I don't know where we're at in the total number of shows, but anyway, you guys have seen it in either in your iPods or via the website, however you've came in. Hey, just do have a couple of quick announcements. I made a couple of decisions, and I want to let you guys know what I'm going to be doing. Starting January 1st, okay, starting January 1st of 2006, I am only going to be creating an MP3 file. I know that many of you are getting the WMA and OGG versions of the show. I must apologize. I need to, in order to save myself time, because it adds a considerable amount of post-production time and it adds upload time to the show. And just in order to save myself, you know, essentially about 20 minutes of extra time every week, or actually 20 minutes every show, I'm not going to be creating the WMA and OGG. So starting on January 1st, 2006, I'm only going to have the MP3 up. So I'm going to start reminding you pretty much every show to make sure that you subscribe to the MP3 feed and get switched over. And I know some of you are going to be sad that I'm doing this, but you know, I'm just trying to streamline the process here as much as possible because I have to have all those up, everything set in place before I can actually hit publish on the on the blog, and it's just that extra time is just killing me here. So, you know, take for example tonight, it's 11:30, and I'm going to be getting done about 12:15 with the show, getting encoded, uploaded, and it'll probably be another hour. So, you know, you subtract 20 minutes off that instead of another hour, 45 minutes or 40 minutes, it's a considerable amount of time. But hey, I spent today with went up to my sister's place and she had dinner. We took a couple of dishes over, had a very nice afternoon with them. Then this evening, visited my wife's family, went over and seen all the aunties and uncles, and hung out local style, watched some TV, and just talk story. And it's nice to catch up with everyone. Of course, one of the aunties had just bought a new computer, so I had to give a little free technical support to them, talking to them about, you know, using Firefox, and also some suggestions on using the correct type of firewall, etc. Luckily, she had a the computer had come with the Norton Internet Security already loaded, so they were okay. Everything was loaded good, but I had gotten told him to get Spy Sweeper. So my cousin sat right down and he loaded Spy Sweeper on. And he loaded Firefox up, and we talked about some strategies they could use because they're connecting the computer directly into the cable modem. And she wants to make sure they spent a lot of money on the machine. They bought a real nice one. So she wanted me to know if she was really safe. And I said, well, for an extra layer of protection, plus if you want to move around, because I know one of the kids have a laptop, I said, you know, go ahead and buy a wireless router. I said, that'll add us, you know, it's kind of an additional level of protection by having a router in between that and the cable modem. So I think they're going to go ahead and do that, which is good. But, yeah, it was a great day, and I'm actually enjoying the time off, and tomorrow the madness starts. You know, if any of you are living overseas, do you have a certain day that the shopping sprees just gets slammed? Here in the States, it's the day following Thanksgiving. You know, one of my cousins is going to sit outside of CompUSA tonight at midnight, waiting for them to open up, just so they can save $40 on a 1 gig flash card. I said, you're crazy. Go, you know, is it worth your time to really go over there and save, you know, a little, that kind of money to be up at midnight sitting outside of CompUSA? And he's dedicated. He's going to go do it. And I think, you know, it's obviously, if he wants to save some money, it's a smart move. But I'm sorry, I am not going to do it. I'm not getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning like some people are. I'm not going to rush. I'm going to sleep in tomorrow morning. I'm going to get up and have some coffee. I'm going to kick back. And when I get ready to go out, I'm going to go out. And one thing that my wife and I have decided to buy is, early in the year, she dropped my beloved Fuji digital camera. And it had a great reaction time on the shutter speed. We bought the digital camera that we bought and replaced it with has been just absolutely, it's irritated me. I want to say another word. It's totally irritated me. I'm not happy with it. So I've got a coworker who is a very, he has top end gear, all the expensive lenses, you know, he has more photography gear than I have probably owned in my entire life of computer gear. So that tells you how much money he spent. So we got to talking about it, and I think we're going to go buy the Canon Rebel XT. It's a nice, nice 8-megapixel digital camera. And I'm going to buy one of the medium versions of a lens. It's not a pro lens, but it's one step down with it. They've got a sale going on. I think we're going to be able to pick that up for about, it's around $900. So this will be one of our biggest purchases this year in tech gear. But, you know, I had a top end 35 millimeter that, you know, I used for years. And ever since we went to digital, we have just not been able to get quite to the level that we wanted to. So we've made this decision, and it's basically her and I's each anniversary present to each other, and her and I's each Christmas present, and her and I each Valentine. So, you know, we basically kind of decided this is going to kill all the gift giving for like the next 6 months, but between each other, I mean, it's going to be our present. But obviously a big purchase, but we look forward to being able to get some great, great pictures out of this new camera. But of course, as always, we need to save you some money too. Are you ready to sell your domain name? Buying and selling domains has never been easier with the domain name aftermarket from number one domain register, GoDaddy.com. Powerful search tools let buyers quickly find your domain or bid on domain names from other sellers. Get started now at www.tdnam.com. That's www.tdnam.com. Or go to GoDaddy.com and select the domain auctions menu item. Plus, as a Geek News Central listener, enter the code Todd, T-O-D-D, when you check out and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. What else? What else have I got in my little short list? Hey, I got a quick message tonight. Believe it or not, it came in on Skype by one of our often contributors to Geek News Central, Jim. And I don't know, Jim, you are up late, my friend, but he sent me a link to a website called popcast.po-dm. I'll just put it up. This is the dumbest domain name I've ever seen in my life. I don't know how he expects people to remember this, but I'm serious. Why he chose this domain, I don't know, but he's got this cool listing. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of the top 10, 10 of the top 10 lists from different directories, from Apple, from Odeo, from Podnova, Podfeed, iPod or X, Podcast Pickle, Podcasting News, Podcast Alley, Virtual Podcast, and Digital Podcast. So an all-in-one place, and he's got an RSS feed, which is the best. So you're going to be able to track all these directories via their RSS feed. But lo and behold, as I got home tonight to check out the read the email that I had not been keeping up with all day, obviously, got an email from one of our very excited PCN, which is podcasternews.com podcasters, saying, hey, look at this link, look at this link. And I linked over, and it was one of our favorite and one of your favorite also websites, which I linked to via this show every week, was Robin Good's Media Picks of the Week. And guess what the number one listing was on his media picks? Podcasternews.com. I was like, all right, nice little write-up. And there's some other, obviously there's some other podcasting sites on this week's picks, but I was totally blown away. Glad that Robin checked the site out and gave us basically a plug via his site. So very, very cool. Lots of things going on over there. I've had our developer working real hard on the website, and he's got about 30 things to do on his to-do list. But every once in a while, I'll see a little change on the site, and we've got our new player up, and we've worked out some bug issues with the MP3 naming and some other things that were going on, and we've started to get the paperwork back from our new podcasters. We're starting to add them onto the mix. So I'm pretty excited by the forward momentum over at podcasternews.com. Now, I did get some feedback from last week's thing at Tech Podcast. Hey, I'm glad you guys liked the video, liked the audio. I think it was it's been our highest downloaded show over there on the audio portion. Of course, we've got the video up from GoToMeeting, obviously, also. And, of course, a little info for you about GoToMeeting. Todd Cochran here from the Geek News Central podcast. By now, you probably heard that the Tech Podcast Network uses GoToMeeting to conduct online business meetings and training. But did you know that GoToMeeting is the easiest way for any organization to conduct online business meetings? I've asked Fox Show's Andrew McNeil what he liked best about GoToMeeting.
I like the way you can record the entire presentation audio and video for later viewing.
Sound too good to be true? Try GoToMeeting free for yourself for 30 full days. You don't need a credit card. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech roundtable or click on the GoToMeeting link on the Geek News Central website. Now, into my regular content for the week, or for this weekend show, which is turning out to be. Remember we talked a few shows ago, maybe last show, how TiVo is going to allow people to download TV shows and put them either on their Apple iPod or their Sony's PlayStation Portable, their PSP. Well, there is a bunch of TV studios and media companies that are just, well, I guess they got fire coming out of their ears. They are not happy, and they're actually discussing going after TiVo with a lawsuit. So it appears that TiVo is acting unilaterally here, disregarding established rights of content owners. So I'm sure this is going to be a battle that is going to be heavy and heated. TiVo gets it. They really, really do. You know, they fully are dialed in, okay? And I think that it's just, you know, we're paying for the content that's coming in the TV, all right? We're recording it with TiVos that we have licensed, that we have bought, that we want to record shows that they're allowing us because there's no broadcast flag. Why should I not be able to take that content? Why should I have to pay these studios $1.99 for that video? You know what? I got to keep this G-rated. I'm not going to do it. I will not pay $1.99 for that. Why? Because I've already paid for it once. This racket, and it is a racket of having to pay for stuff two or three times. No, it is. The buck stops here. Stops here today. I will not pay $1.99. I won't pay 50 cents. I won't pay a nickel for any content that I'm getting today on my TV that I'm already paying for with my fees that go to my cable company. My cable company bill was out of control, and I called them last week like I talked about and got it reduced. I think I'm paying $116, I think is what my cable bill is right now. That's with internet, which I think my internet's $40, plus I got an extra IP, so maybe it's more than that, $49. So $60 or something I'm paying on for my cable bill, and the only extra channel that I have right now, I've got a package, a Showtime and HBO for half price or some sort of scam they get you to get the dual package. You know what? I paid for it. I have paid for that. I am not paying again for some company to say, oh, you know, you're going to pay $1.99 for that copy of Lost. Forget it. Won't do it. You know, come on, TiVo. Shake them up. Knock them down. Bring it on. I will buy a TiVo. If you don't cave in, I will buy a TiVo. I will take the DVR that I have in my house. I'll tell the cable company to come get it. Yeah, I'm fired up. It's 11:45, and I am fired up. Okay, what else? Here is a very curious article that was up on ZDNet. And it's actually a UK article. It says, and I'm going to read just the first paragraph of this, and those are for those of you that are over in the UK. In a move, a digital rights group is calling a gross affront to civil liberties and human rights. Media firms want to amend the proposed data retention directive so they can bring criminal prosecution for copyright violations. Okay, this is all about the European Union's data retention legislation. And I'll go ahead and link this up for those of you that are dealing with all these crazy rules that are being imposed by the European Union and what's being railroaded through. But this is all about them being able to figure a way to go after people that are downloading data, okay, essentially, a little more stronger than they have already. All right, those of you that are hardware freaks, the mother of all CPU charts for 2006 is over on Tom's Hardware Guide. Matter of fact, I talked to some folks over at Tom's Hardware Guide last week about something, and I've recently subscribed to all of their feeds to get a little better idea of the content they have over there. And this is a very, very cool article. So if you are into CPUs, if you're into overclocking your chips, if you're into finding out whose performance is best, this is the article you're going to want to check out. And they're very, very, very non-judgmental. They're going to allow you to come up with your own conclusions on this. Better have a big glass of iced tea or a Red Bull or whatever it may be in front of you before you start reading this, because it is quite extensive, okay? It really, really is. All right, what else have I got? Hey, there was I found this link via Dave Weiner's scripting news site, pointed me over to, it's a howto.diveintomark.org, and this is a how to rip DVD movies to your iPod using free software. We may have linked to something like this similarly before, but this is for Apple users, okay? For those of you that have Macs. Very, very simple, folks. It really, really is, okay? And I know that we've talked about this before, but he's got screenshots and how to go through this piece by piece by piece by piece. And, of course, the link will be up in the show notes at geeknewscentral.com. All right, how many of you stood in line? I know a few of you did because I got emails. Actually, I got text messages from some of you that had actually downloaded the show while you were standing in line for an Xbox. I got a text message from someone that was in a line to go into Sam's Club at 7 a.m. He'd been there since 5, but he had downloaded the show before he went in, and they only had like 10. I'm sorry, you didn't. I know you didn't get one. You're like 22 or 23rd in line, and you were mad that Sam's didn't come out and tell everyone that they only had 10. But I do know you got one at 10 p.m. A little later in the day. But how many of you took your Xboxes home and are having overheating problems? There's not. Sounds like it's a kind of a mixed deal. Some are seeing it, some aren't. Some are actually seeing the game disc being scratched. So it looks like there's some more issues with the next generation Xbox 360 that's out, okay? I shouldn't say next generation. That's that's a pun on something else. Okay, Google is testing a application, or not an application, but a service called Click-to-Call. Now, this is kind of innovative, if you ask me. I don't know if I necessarily would be using this, but for companies that are running have Google AdSense ads, and also companies are opting in somehow to put their telephone number, their 24-hour customer service number within the link. If you search for it and you want to call them, you just click on it, and it does a, you have to put a number in or something. There's instructions how to do it. I haven't seen one of these phone icons yet. But you can actually call the customer service of the company that is listed in the either the Google search or the Google AdSense ad. So this is kind of another step here in the direction of Google trying to connect advertisers and people in their search engines, you know, real quickly. You know, you don't even have to go to their website almost. You just say, oh, right here they are. And how many times have you guys went looking for a company? I know there's been... I do this for hotels all the time. If I'm going to be traveling to, let's say, just wherever, I'll just type in the city. I'll say hotel, city name, and what maybe chain I want. And I usually comes up in the top search. And then what that would be cool to be able to just go click and have my voice IP system dial into either the reservation desk or whatever it may be without having to go and actually find their number. Pretty awesome. Pretty cool. And it just goes to show you where we're headed with search engine technology. Okay, what else we got? Hey, there's some discussions going on and how major media players are starting to kind of figure it out that blogs are kind of a good place to advertise if you have a niche type of market in a unique way. So ads are starting to show up in some surprising places, and one of them is Hasbro, the toy maker, has done a promotion with 177 blogs. $20,000 was their budget. So if you split that 177 ways, these guys made a little bit of money, I guess. I don't know how long the campaign was, if it was for a whole month or what. But let's see, what were some of the blogs that were in there? Yeah, it was in this list. I'm not going to take the time to read which blogs, but they were found via Technorati. And I thought that was kind of curious. Here's a little bit of a... it's not necessarily a secret, but here's something that you all need to realize. If you're writing a blog, it's very, very important that you get people to, you know, you want people to point at your blogs via their blogs or from other websites. What that does is kind of builds up your Technorati rank, if it will be. Also, tagging helps, tagging all of your blog articles so that you are, when someone searches on a tag term, that you come up in the top, you know, in the top page within Technorati. And this kind of boils down to even some attention stuff, but it's not tied into attention completely. And by the way, one of our long-term listeners sent me a email talking about ads on the podcast. And we've had a short exchange on email. And just to let you guys all know, that I'm listening to comments that you're making on the based upon some of the things that are going on within the podcast. Do appreciate that feedback, but I do totally appreciate all of your support, your continued support with the show. That's the most important thing. And I know that you all realize that putting the show together takes a lot of time. It takes, you know, some money. And whatever I get in advertising funds, I generally turn it right back into the show or other initiatives I've got going on. So I want to thank you guys for supporting all the advertisers that are on the show, which are two. You know, and if I talk about, if someone said the other day, well, you sound like you advertised, talking about advertising five or six different products. If it's an advertisement, I will tell you. Okay, I've always said that before, and you all know that GoDaddy is a sponsor, and GoToMeeting is a sponsor here too, okay? Actually, GoToMeeting is a sponsor over at Tech Podcast, and we're doing promotions over there, as you guys have all heard. All right, enough on that, but I'll link to this this ad on, it was within the New York Times. Don't know how long this will stay up front before it goes behind the firewall. So if you've listened to the show a couple weeks later, it may not be there anymore, and you may actually have to log into the New York Times. But I did think that the article was pretty good and is relevant for those of you that are out there blogging. Okay, remember the last show I discussed that Japanese asteroid probe had not landed. Well, it turns out that it did. And during the time that they had lost contact with it, it had apparently been on the surface for about 30 minutes. But they're not sure if they had actually disturbed the surface enough to collect enough dust. I guess that's what they were doing. They were going to shoot pellets into the surface to increase the dust factor, and they were going to use that as their method to collect a sample. They weren't going out and actually scraping, I guess. I was kind of surprised about that. But it looks like it was on the surface for about 30 minutes. It says, and it does say the collection equipment failed, but they say it's possible the craft may have disturbed enough dust just by landing for some of it to be scooped up. So we'll see what happens there. They're making a decision whether or not they're going to land again, because they have to head back for Earth here within the week to the trajectories and all that stuff are right to get it back, and using gravity, et cetera, push and pull by the sun to get it home. So we'll see what happens with this if they even decide to land again. And it's, you know, this is missions on really shaky ground based upon the condition of the spacecraft. All right, how many of you have a Shure noise isolating earphones? I played with a few of them at the Podcast Expo. And actually, there was a couple of vendors there, and I really, really do like them, but I really, really don't like the price. But there's a good article in the Register, and I've always thought that for a while what I was doing is I was carrying my Bose noise cancellation headsets with me wherever I went. Something happened, and I actually cracked them, so I'm going to get them repaired. But I'm using a different headset right now here at home, but it's too bulky to go on the road. And I really have gotten irritated with the iPod earbuds because they're just horrendous. You know, they just don't fit good. And there's a lot better headset solutions out there. So I guess if any of you are using the Shure E4C noise isolating earphones, I'd like to hear from you, because I'd like to know how much of a pain in the butt they are to really put in. Because I heard that's kind of a concerning factor. And if any of you are using those, if you're having problems sticking them in and getting them in right, because they have to go in so far, like some feedback at geeknews@gmail.com. And that one thing I did want to do tonight, and I almost forgot, I got them all queued up here. I was going to play them earlier, but I got a bunch of voicemail in response to the last show and one site comment. And I'm going to play the two. Well, save the site comment for last, because I want to talk about that. We still got more content to go through tonight, but I'm going to go ahead and play these voicemails now, then we'll finish up the rest of the content I have tonight. So here is the first one. The first one's short. Yeah, the second one's a little longer, and the third one's pretty short. Here we go.
Hi, Todd. This is Mike Wills from the Riverbend Podcast. You mentioned the pod producer in your last episode, and I am actually using that to create my podcast right now. I think it works pretty good. I don't know if you've tried the trial version of Cast Blaster, but they're both really similar. Cast Blaster seems to have, what does Adam call it? The delimiter or whatever. Compressor delimiter, I think is what he calls it. They have that in there. The Pod Producer does not. But I like how Pod Producer has a fading, so you can fade between two songs quite easily. Or in their latest beta that they put out, you can just link two songs together so they play right, one right after the other, which is really nice for in my case where I play a couple songs and I talk and stuff. So overall, I kind of like it. I've kind of tried the beta version of Cast Blaster, not really like it as much. So, and price difference is also kind of a major point where Pod Producer is free and Cast Blaster is not. But, yeah, I think Pod Producer is pretty good. I used it to create my promo that you played a few shows back, and I think it sounds good. You can reach my podcast at www.theriverbendpodcast.com. It's been a long day. Thanks, and good luck. Bye.
You and me both, man. I've had a long day here, too. All right, here's the next one.
Hey, Todd, this is Norbert from the normcheck.info podcast. You asked on your show on Tuesday if anybody used the Pod Producer program for recording their podcast. I do. I find it quite easy to use. It's got a lot of good features to it as far as control of audio. You can do a lot of sound bites and sweepers and any kind of audio file you'd like, any kind of clips to put on their little, they have a set of buttons that you can expand or minimize to get as many or few as you want. And it works out real well for me. I've been using it for about 4.5-5 months now. Most of my podcasts have been done on that. I used to use Audacity before. And if I have any editing that I really want to do, I'll bring it into Audacity and do it there. But Pod Producer does a pretty good job. Right now I'm running version, the beta 0.22. And I know they have 0.24 out, but 0.23 and 0.24 did not work correctly on my system, which is definitely in need of an upgrade or at least a good cleaning. So that might be a problem there, but 0.22 works quite stably for what I need to do, and that's it. So hopefully that'll work for you. Have a good one. Keep up the podcast.
Okay, and the last one, here we go.
Hey, Todd, love your show. Just one request, if there's any way that you could, like, increase the size of the text on the screen when you're reading links or something, because I really like to go to some of those links that you mentioned, but when you read them off, the letters are sometimes missing one or two characters and or adding one or two, but a great show. Keep up the good work.
I guess if you could, on that particular comment, are you referring to the website on some of the links not working within the show notes, or is the text just too small on the website? Send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Try to highlight the area that you're talking about, and we'll see about getting that fixed. If I ever do, you know, because I'm at very, usually I'm putting the show notes together late at night. So if I put in an incorrect link and the link is dead, best way for me to catch that is just drop a comment on the actual posting, and then I'll get it fixed as quickly as possible. I'll send you an email. As long as you include your email, I'll send you an email back directly with the correct link. I hope that's what you're referring to. If you've also having problems reading the site, you can use the increase font size within Firefox. It'll actually increase the text size on the website. A few people have had commented the text a little small on the site, so we'll have to look at that down the road on a site redesign. I believe there was one more I had, but I'm going to see if I can dig that out, and then we'll play it at the end of the show. But I've got, what else have I got in the news bag here? Okay, It looks like the MPAA and the studios have reached some sort of an agreement with the creator of BitTorrent software to... He's going to put something in. It's going to basically remove movies. It's going to allow them a way to remove movies. And what they're going to do, this deal is not going to prevent illegal copies from being swapped using BitTorrent technology. But what will happen is if the MPAA or one of the studios finds an illegal link on one of the torrent feeds, it's going to give them a way to have some sort of a takedown notice sent. But this has got some people talking within the BitTorrent community, especially those running trackers. It's going to be very, very hard to enforce. With approximately 45 million people that are downloading different types of content with BitTorrent, and a lot of it is, you know, not illegal content. I use people downloading this show with BitTorrent content. So we'll see what happens here with this initiative. But I think that Cohen is the guy that created BitTorrent. He's basically doing as much as he can to try not to end up on the legal side of this house dealing with the, dealing with these idiots at the MPAA and the production houses. So we'll see what happens. All right, there was a study done, and it's found that over 30% of Digital Millennium copyright cease and desist notices were deemed illegal. And many times what's being found is cease and desist orders are being sent to Google, different ISPs, individual websites to take down links from not just content that shouldn't be on there for copyright violation, but for competitors, you know, or links to comments that are made that were negative towards the company. So I'm just wondering how many of these takedown notices are actually being acted upon. You know, if someone sent me a takedown notice on an article that I wrote, I'd have to really, really look at it closely to determine if I'm really, you know, if there's some sort of a violation going on. And I would have, if I didn't know, I'd have no choice to take it down unless I spent money on a lawyer and had some legal advice. But this is something I think all of us are going to have to watch out for. And there's a website called Chilling Effects, chillingeffects.org, that looks at these notices, and they've reviewed over 900 of them. But just goes to show you that not all takedown notices are legal. So if you do get one, you know, scrutinize it very, very closely. And if you think you're in the right, don't be afraid to stand up and fight, but it could cost you some money. That was a little bit of a rhyme, wasn't it? There's a link on news.com that links to a site that is basically putting up the best videos of the day that are being found over on Google. I think that you guys will get a kick out of this. And, you know, for example, some of the links have been that octopus that devoured a shark, footage of a crying Darth Vader eating pie. I guess so. Some of these are, I haven't seen some of these, so it's apparently pretty funny videos. But of course, I'll have the link up to this in the show notes. For those of you that are in the security front for Net, maybe working as a, working inside of a company as a tech rep or a system administrator, SANS is warning of attacks shifting to apps and network devices. So hackers, instead of going after vulnerabilities within Microsoft, are going after actual applications. And it's very curious to see what they're doing. And I've always thought that there would probably be a switch in tactics where they would start going after routers, where they'd start going after backup software, you know, any of these apps that actually connect to the internet. I thought at some point that this could happen, and it looks like it's starting to shift. Of course, that doesn't alleviate a lot of the issues that are affecting Microsoft users with Windows having so many different vulnerabilities. But the hackers are using every possible resource or every possible way to get into people's systems to drop all kinds of bad stuff. There is a Last week, Microsoft announced their OpenXML initiatives, and legal analysts are seeing defects in that. Now, I'm not so surprised that lawyers are saying, well, it's not as open as what we anticipated it to be. And it goes into quite some detail about that. So those of you that are interested in that, especially if you that are developers, you'll want to check this article out. It was over on eWeek.com. Now, a little bit of news on the space shuttle front. Some cracks were found in the shuttle tank foam. If you remember correctly, they've regrounded the shuttle because of foam that departed from the external tank. And upon examination of one of the external tanks, it turned up some small cracks in the ramp area that was a source of the chunk. That tank had been filled a couple of times already for leak test. It seems pretty obvious to me, though. You know, they fill that thing full of fuel, and what happens? A little expansion and contraction. You know, what's going to happen with the foam that's wrapped around it? Of course, it's going to crack. Duh. Well, I guess they're going to have to take a look at this and see if this is this can be rectified, and if there's more cracks in other tanks. Did found some links for the podcast expo and some great pictures of the awards that we gave out. So I'll link this link up on the show notes. Those of you can get a kind of an idea of some of the pictures of the trophies and stuff that we handed out. Pretty cool shot of them in the picture. I think you all get a kick out of that. All right. How many more articles have I got? I got two or three here. Of course, we talked about Robin Good's new media picks of the week with Podcaster News being on there. Another one they have, of course, is PodSafe Music Network, the Podcast Empire. I've never been over to that site. You'll have to check that out. All podcasts, freshpodcast.com. Of course, that link to that site that had How Much Is My Blog Worth. Another one that I'm not familiar with is Magpie. And two or three other real cool applications and sites. So we'll get this up, obviously, in the show notes. All right, I've been really on this bandwagon of RSS measurement, and I've been kind of trying to figure out how to get a better handle on what's going on with RSS feeds and how many people have subscribed to it. And give you an example, I thought I would give, you know, I've talked pretty negatively about FeedBurner in the past. I know a lot of you use it, and I have my own personal reasons, and I guess for those of you that haven't heard it before, I'll lay it out. When Geek News Central was formed 3 years ago, I had a blogging application that was very capable of creating its own RSS feed. That RSS feed validates, and I've never really had a problem with it. It's always pointed at geeknewscentral.com/index.xml. The podcast, the primary podcast feed, is at geeknewscentral.com/podcast.xml. And the variants of it for the MMA, the WMA, and the OGG file. Well, my thought was that, you know, that is my bread and butter for that website. And I am in control of that RSS feed. That RSS feed belongs to my site, belongs to me. I own it. And it's a critical part of our operation. Or my operation here. So why would I allow a third party to manipulate, handle, process my RSS feed? Early on, there were some questions on what they were doing with the data. They've subsequently come up with privacy statements and ways to, if people decide they want to move their feed, how to redirect it. But what it boils down to is any of you that are using FeedBurner as your primary feed, and you're building a listening audience or you're building a readership audience on that network, and you're using that FeedBurner link as the primary link, you're basically setting yourself up for a loss of listeners if you ever want to move that. You're kind of locked in. You are 100% locked into essentially FeedBurner. You know, you can move. Sure, you can move. But you're going to take a hit. I don't care what you do. You do a redirect. I don't care. It's going to. Because so many people within their RSS feed are going to have www.feedburner.com/whatever your site listing was. Well, over at techpodcast.com, because Mambo was really crappy in the way it did its RSS implementation, we decided to use FeedBurner over there, and we did a redirect. So if you go to techpodcast.com/index.xml, that is the RSS feed, but it redirects to a FeedBurner feed. So I decided, okay, let me check out this FeedBurner stuff a little deeper. So I signed up for all of their pro services. I think about $13, $14, $15 worth of services a month. So I said, I'm going to check this thing out, see what it really does, what kind of reports it gives me. On my site, I'm using Google Analytics and I'm using SiteMeter as the two applications to track just the general traffic coming to the site. And then basically it gives me, you know, the most clicked on links, it gives me hits per hour, you know, it gives me all this great detailed information. Well, the RSS feed never really comes into play so much because of the way SiteMeter works. It's based upon when the page gets loaded. In the XML feed, none of that data is in there. So every time the XML feed gets loaded, or the RSS feed gets loaded, it really doesn't get measured by SiteMeter or Google Analytics. So you actually have to take the raw weblogs file and run it through a commercial application to find out what's going on. And I've been on this big bandwagon saying if someone built a tool that podcasters or bloggers or anybody that has that could get great analytic data on your RSS feeds on your own site, running it internally without having to pay some commercial application that's going to analyze your Apache log files, you know, I'd pay good money for that. So anyway, getting back to FeedBurner, I've went about a month now with that Total Pro service over there, and their stats suck. They really, for the amount of money that you're paying every month and for the type of information they're giving you on your RSS feed, it is really horrendous. You know, they really need, if they're going to charge money for that, then they need to be able to give the level of clarity that companies like SiteMeter.com and Google Analytics provide, instead of these neat little graphics and very limited amount of information. So needless to say, I'm canceling the Total Pro services over at FeedBurner because it's not worth the money to me to get the information that they're providing. It's just not. It's invalid. It's not invalid. It's worthless. Okay. Now, some of you may disagree with me. That's cool. So subsequently, on November 21st, and I just found the link to it today, over at marketingstudies.net, they produced an article talking about the basics of measuring your RSS feed. And I think this is a pretty good link. But what I crack up about is they're saying, use the best choices is feedburner.com or use feedo.com. And I'm like, no, why are they doing that? It is not, yeah, it is the best choice right now because no one else is providing it unless you're doing a commercial read. But what they're providing, I can't talk positively about the product. I can't. So I'm sure this is going to raise some comments from all of you, and you're all going to want to say something that are using FeedBurner. I know some of you out there are big FeedBurner fans. They've got a great service. I like what they're doing. Their Total Pro stuff, I just don't think it's worth the value. So let me know. Let me know what you think. And if you have a better way for measuring your RSS feed, hey, I'd like to hear that too. And if there's a developer out there that could come up with some sort of something I can run on my website that I can control my own RSS feed, hey, show it to me, baby, and I'll get the checkbook out, all right? All right, two last articles. Us guys that are all geeky, we don't forget about the ladies out there, and I get emails all the time from ladies that listen to the shows. There's a lot of ladies out there that are geeks, too, that love geek toys. And did you know that women are now accounting for 50% of technology purchases? So this should make all of you guys aware that you need to tend to the inner geeks of your wives and buy them geek toys for Christmas, okay? So real cool article on Business Week. And for those of you in marketing, you need to be thinking about the ladies a little bit and making sure you've got products for them, okay? I'm sure you all do. I'm sure you guys know more about that than I ever will. Okay, last thing is there's an article on CNN Money that says blogs finally getting business savvy. Pretty cool little article. And of course, it talks about Calacanis and him getting $25 million and some of the other people that have done well in the blog sphere. So that's all I really have for a hardcore comment. We're at 49 minutes. How did I go 49 minutes? Don't know how that happened, but I do have a few show comments we'll go over, and I'm like, kick you guys out of here, and I need to go to bed. It's late. All right, I got I'll probably promos next show, so I'll get you caught up with the promos next week. But I got a message from Matt. He says, "Dear Geek, since you are so good with computers, could you tell me how I can get an iTunes HTML link to my podcast in iTunes, like the one you have on your site? This would be greatly appreciated. I read your book. It's great. I love the podcast too. Thanks so much, Matt." Matt, when you get your iTunes listing listed in iTunes, did that make sense? When you get your podcast listed in iTunes, that's better. I'm tired. Sorry. The subscribe button on iTunes, just right click on that and copy that link. And guess what? That's your link. Put it in your website, and it's going to provide, if anyone that has an iTunes loaded on their computer or the Yahoo Music Engine, it will actually load either one of those and offer you a chance to subscribe that way. So go to iTunes, right-click on the subscribe link, copy the link for that subscribe button, and that's your link. Okay, I got an email from Larry. He's got the basically, he's one of the lucky ones that has the basically the service that is being offered by Verizon, where you get fiber to your house. He says, "I regularly get, check this out, 5,000 kbps downloads, holy cow, and 1,800 kbps uploads." He says it's very reliable in comparison to cable modem service in this area. The modem service tests higher in download speeds, but it's about one half the upload speed. I see a lot of erratic operations on cable. FiOS is actually a little cheaper right now, and it has never failed. I have both services in the house right now and will be discontinuing my cable at the end of December. If I could get 800 kbps uploads, I would not complain about the slower downloads. But Larry, thanks for that. And I'm very, very, very envious that you've got that to your house. I just, what do you pay for that? Send me another email. Let me know what you pay for that. I also got an email from Paul. He's an expat living, where are you at? You've lived in Germany, Italy, France, and he's been overseas for 12 years. It's in response to an article I wrote on my website about how TV programming typically outside of the United States just really sucks. You know, you got Sky and you've got all these, I hate to say it, they really, really do. They really are terrible. You get all this old programming. And he says, hey, you know, up to this point, you know, especially for football, he's a big football fan. He wanted to, you know, listen to football or watch football games. He tried to subscribe to it. He couldn't. But he, you know, he likes downloading TV programs and uses BitTorrent to do that. So he's a little bit concerned about what's going on with BitTorrent and trying to knock out the some of the copyrighted material that's on the network. But hey, thanks for that that message, Paul. It's great. And having lived outside of the United States, I can feel your pain, baby. I really can. I know that when I was overseas, the way I got back to the United States via the internet was I dialed into a CompuServe account that cost me like $14 an hour. And then I would Telnet or R log in. I can't remember how I did it. Got all the way back to a node somewhere in Chicago. And then I could Telnet to BBSs and downloaded stuff at like 2400 baud at $14 an hour, plus a surcharge from the Chicago exchange. Yeah, it was expensive. Gosh, how far we have come in such a short time. Got a message from a guy that's saying that they are going to be sending messages into space. And you guys can check this out over at messageintospace.com. I got a message from Kate. He says, I realize the show is dated 2 days ago, but I'm just getting into it. In the unlikely event you have been deluged with links to the list of rootkit-infested CDs, here's a link to the EFF site. And he says, this gives a couple of tips so you can check your Sony CDs for yourself. Your Springsteen fan listener may appreciate that. And a link to an audio grabber. Apparently, this thing can read the bad CD somehow. I don't get it, but the EFF seems to think it's a good, so maybe you can make sense of it. So I'll put that link up from the EFF. Thanks from that, Kate. I really do appreciate that. And I had put on the website earlier in the week a link to the full listing of songs that had the Rootkit stuff on from Sony. So I hope our UK listener that had the Springsteen album was able to stick those CDs in and rip them to his computer so he could listen to them on his portable MP3 player. We're at 55 minutes. Where did the time go? All right, folks, I'm going to get off in here. Who would have thought I went this long in this short amount of content? I need to quit yakking. As always, send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365 or Skype me at Geek News Central. Hey, everyone, have a great weekend. Aloha. We'll see you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.